Your name, we bless your name, Father God. For Lord, we have come here today, Father God, because we're thirsty for you, Father God. We are desperate for you, Father God. For you are the very air that we breathe. You are the very bread that we need, Father God. You are the living bread that we need every day. We daily need you, Father God. Every second, every hour, every day, we want to be fed by you, Father God. For you, Lord, alone sustain us, oh God. You, the one, oh God, who wakes us up in the morning, Father God. You wake us up in the morning, Father God. You give us strength to take the very first step out of our beds, oh God. You give us strength, Father God, to say good morning to our spouses and our families, oh God, our friends, oh God. You give us strength, Father God, to be able to do whatever we need to do, Father God, to get going, oh God. Lord, we give you praise this morning, Father God, for the strength that you provide for us, oh God. For Lord, you've said in your way that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank you, Father God, for Lord, we wait every day for you, Lord. In you, we have our strength renewed, God Almighty. Sometimes we are bombarded left, right, and center, oh God, but Lord, we know that in you, Father God, we receive strength, oh God, to be able to stand against anything, Father God, that comes against us, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father God, because you have not put us in this world without any strength. Yes. You've given us strength through Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father God, for the strength that you provide every day for us, oh God. We come in this place, oh God, to acknowledge you, Father God, to give you praise. It's not about us, oh God, it is about you, oh God. Yes. And so, Father God, help us, Father God, to acknowledge your rightful place in this place, oh God. To acknowledge you, Father God, seated on the throne, oh God. We come here, Father God, to see you, to love on you, Father God, to stretch our hands in worship to you, Father God. And so help us, Father God, to lay aside anything, Father God, that hinders our worship to come out pure to you, Father God. We want our worship to come as pure as it can be, Father God, to you, that it might be a sweet sound to your ears, oh God, a sweet aroma to your nostrils, Father God. That as you look down upon your children in this house, oh God, you have a big smile on your face because, Lord, we lift up true worship, worship in spirit and in truth in this house. And so, God, we pray that you just help us, oh God, to do just that today, oh God. Lift up worship, Father God, that is due to you, oh God. The worship, Father God, that you've ordained for us to give in this day, oh God, we give back to you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this day that you've made. And Lord, we choose to rejoice and be glad in this day, oh God, because we know, Father God, that you are in control, oh God. And so we thank you, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise for your word that is going to come on this pulpit, Father God. Lord, we agree, Father God, in this house, oh God, that your word shall come from you alone, Father God. That no one, Father God, shall adulterate your word in any way, Father God. So, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you help us to do that the rest of our lives as we live on this earth, oh God, that we will speak the truth from this pulpit. And Lord, every pulpit that you have as for us out there, Father God, that we will stand and speak the truth, oh God. And so we thank you, Father God, for every altar, every place, Father God, that you've given us, oh God, as a house in this place, oh God. Every place out there, Father God, that you've given us, oh God, we will stand on that place and preach your word, whether it's through the speech that we have, whether it's through our lives, oh God, any place that you've given us out there, our places of work, Father God, we will speak your word. And so help us, Father God, that every pulpit that you give unto us, oh God, we will not use it to our own gain, but Lord, to your gain, oh God, and to your glory. And so we thank you, Father God, for every chance and opportunity that you've given us, Father God, to minister your word. And Lord, we praise you, Father God, for every individual in this place, people that have chosen, oh God, without being forced, oh God, to come to this house to worship you, Lord. We speak a blessing upon each and every one of us, oh God, a blessing that you alone knows, Father God. And so we thank you and receive that blessing that you have for us in this house. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. This morning we will be reading responsibly from the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. And the word of God reads, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Yes. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Yes.
For I acknowledge my transgressions,
yes,
and my sin is always before me.
Yes.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise."
And together, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Hallelujah. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. I can search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. Father, we bless your name today. We bless your holy name today, God. We bless your holy name today, God. You are an awesome God. You are an awesome God. We bless your name today. If you could stand with me, and we're going to read just one scripture, the foundation scripture. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Actually, we're going to read just verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
The Father is asking us a question today. He's asking his children, his body, this question. Where is the evidence of my truth? Where is the evidence of my coming? Where is the evidence of my dying on the cross and being raised with all power in my hands? And the same power that I was raised with, I have given you, and I now dwell in you. Where is the evidence? Where's the evidence? The Bible says that the elders, they gained a great report because they had faith. They showed the faith of God. They believed in God. And the evidence was in the things that they did. Abraham was called the father of faith because the evidence of him having faith in God moved him from where he lived in Ur out of a pagan worshiping God country to some place that he didn't even know that where he was going. So the evidence of Abraham's faith was in what Abraham did.
Yes.
And how obedient Abraham was to the voice of God, because Abraham didn't have the scripture like we have. Abraham had to rely on knowing this God that he had never been introduced to by his family, because they were pagan worshipers. But there was an innate ability in Abraham when he heard the voice of God, this voice that he had never heard before, that said, get thee up and go away from this family. So the evidence was there because Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. Not knowing where he was going, he just went. That's why he gained such a great testimony. That's why he is talked about thousands of years later, because he gave evidence to the faith that he had in God. Where is the evidence today? Where is the evidence today? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope go together. As Pastor Mike preached, the reality of our faith is in our hope in Christ. So the evidence, the substance is in our hope. Faith and hope go together. This is what Matthew Henry is saying. And I will read part of his sayings, and mine is mixed in there. And I'm not going to say this is mine, this is his. Just listen. It says, faith and hope go together. And the same things that are the object of our faith are the object of our hope. It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And we have evidence of that because he's no longer in the tomb. He promised that he would get up, and he did so. He was resurrected. So the evidence is an empty tomb.
Yes.
So, so our hope and our faith is in the firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession and a present fruition, which is the evidence of those things. And it gives them a substance in the soul by the first fruits and the foretaste of them. So all the promises is the fruit or the fruition, the present
substance that's in us, that's in our soul, that tells us that there's a greater thing coming. And the foretaste of that is that so believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ dwells in the soul by faith, and the soul is filled with the fullness of God as far as the present measure will, as far as his present measure will admit. So that means that if however we admit God to the fulfillment that he allows in our soul, it's up to us, right? And our faith is built on that substance. And the substance comes with however we surrender ourselves and allow God to manifest the fullness of who he is in our soul. Amen? Amen. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? And the soul will live, what? Forever. Amen? Amen. So the experiences are substantial reality, and in the object of our faith, which is Christ Jesus and everything that he did and everything that he promised. The evidence of the things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned in the natural. Faith is the firm assent of the soul to the divine revelation and sets to its seal that God is true. So if we're not convinced that God is true and that our soul is set and sealed by who? The Holy Ghost. He seals us, right? His presence in our life seals us, seals our mind, seals our thoughts, seals, and then because we are sealed, then it gives the evidence of things not seen. What is evidence? Evidence is an available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. So evidence is an outward sign. It is one who bears witness. It is proof that God is who he says he is in our lives, right? And that he did what he said he would do in our lives. So evidence is an outward sign or one who bears witness to the truth of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I'm not going to be before you long because, you know, just the title itself. I could say the title itself and sit down. Because when, listen to this. Now, we don't have to struggle to see the evidence of that there's evil in the world, do we?
That's right, that's right.
Do we have to struggle to see that there's evil in the world? Struggle, is there a struggle to believe that there's evil in the world? All you have to do is turn on the news. Lately, there's a trial going on, and it's a gruesome trial where a woman stabbed her boyfriend 27 times, 32 times.
Right, right.
The number changes every time you hear it.
Right, right.
Shot him in the head,
uh-huh,
and cut him,
right,
his throat from ear to ear.
Right.
From ear to ear.
Uh-huh.
Is that evil? So we don't have to struggle. That actually happened.
Yes.
The young man that came and shot the 22 babies. What was that? That was evil.
Right.
It's undeniable that evil exists.
Right.
So we don't have to be convinced. The evidence is there. It's clear,
uh-huh,
in that we can look and see it. It's a reality. So where is the evidence that our God lives? Where is the evidence that he rose with all power in his hands? And that same power that rose him from the dead lives in us.
Gotcha.
Where is the evidence? Where's the evidence in the body of Christ where divorce is rampant and teen pregnancy is rampant and fornication and cohabitation is the norm? Where's the evidence of a holy God? Where's the evidence that God will not dwell in sin? Where's the evidence of their belief if they figure out in their minds and they've told themselves that they can live like that? Where is the evidence that they believe God? There is none. Because if you believe who God says he is and that every promise that he said he will fulfill, then your life will change. Your life will change. And what did you say, Pastor Brian? What did you say? You said, are we doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we doing? Where's the evidence of that? Right? You said that if you purchase an item and it's backed by a guarantee, then you expect that item to fulfill its name, right? Its name brand. Did you not say that? You said that in your sermon. You said that then people want us to stand by the name of Jesus and be who we are supposed to be. But where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence when we leave this building and we go out? As Elder C said, the pulpit is not just here.
Amen.
The pulpit is out there.
Yes, yes.
When you go, when I have, most of us have been on jury duty. You know, that's one of the requirements. Mm-hmm. If you register to vote, they're going to call you, right? As a citizen of a county, right? Uh-huh. A citizen of the United States. Mm-hmm. And you live in a county and you registered in that county, you're going to get a letter in the mail that says jury duty, mm-hmm. right? And so what does the jury do? The jury will sit and they will listen to what?
The evidence.
Right.
Yes, yes.
In a court of law. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they will determine whether the person is innocent or guilty.
Right.
But they have to be presented with the evidence.
That's right.
And you put your hand on a Bible and you swear that the evidence that you're going to give is true. Why'd you put your hands on the Bible? Does the Bible have some magic in it? No, the Bible is truth.
Yes.
The Bible stands for truth. And so that's why they ask you to put one hand on the Bible and raise the other hand.
Yes. Yes.
And say that the evidence that I am about to give in testimony or witness to whatever the circumstance is against this person or for this person is indeed true. So help me God. Mm-hmm. So evidence is presented all over. Guess what? We're on trial.
Amen.
The body of Christ is on trial right now. Where's the evidence that we live, move, and have our being in a holy God? Where's the evidence? The intoxication. We were at a restaurant and we saw this like whole church come in. But there were streams and streams of alcohol going in the room. Does that bear witness to the character and the nature of God, a holy God? We're just as intoxicated as the world, but we're on trial. We're on trial. And it's just like when we went in the restaurant, Pastor Mike and I, and the server came and stooped down by our table and said, "You give me hope. You give me hope. Because I've served people who I know have just left church, and they are some of the rudest people to me. They talk mean to me. They, you know, their demeanor, their behavior does not speak that you just came from a sanctuary in the presence of God."
Right.
Where's the evidence? Mm-hmm. She said, "You give me hope." We gave her evidence that there are some who believe the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And Pastor Kay, you know, I love the way that God connects our sermons. As Pastor Mike said, the reality of our faith, the reality of our hope is in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that right?
Yes.
The reality of our hope is in our faith. And you came back and you said, are we doing all in the name of the Lord? And that if you buy something that says that it is this, then it's supposed to be that. Amen. Right? And it's supposed to stand by its name. And then Pastor Kay came and she said, we are not the world. Where is the evidence that we're not the world?
Yes.
There's the world in the church. So where's the evidence that we're not the world? When we leave this building, how do we act when we're out in the world? Is the evidence that we are not of the world there in our lives? The body of Christ has to come up and give evidence that we serve a living, powerful, true God.
Right.
And that he is coming back. And that we're going to have to account for whatever evidence that we gave, whether we had a powerless God or whether we had a God with all power in his hands.
Right.
What evidence? Where's the evidence? And she said that where is the evidence that our minds have been renewed? Where's the evidence that our minds have been renewed,
mm-hmm,
and that we are living transformed lives?
Mm-hmm.
We're not the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have a greater power in us. We are to be transforming the world, she said,
mm-hmm,
instead of conforming to the world. Where's the evidence that we're not conforming? Where is the evidence of that? I praise God that there's evidence in this house. I praise God that there is evidence in this house. I praise God for that. Because there is evidence in this house that we live for God and that we believe his word. There is evidence in this house. In John 15, 4 and 5, the Bible says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Who's the vine? I am the vine. I am is the vine. I am is the vine. Uh-huh. You are the branches.
Yes.
He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You say that all the time, Pastor B. I can't do anything. And the Amplified says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Mm-hmm. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. The fruit is the evidence that we are connected to the vine. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And fruit is something that is produced, right? And God says, I have created every fruit with its own seed.
Yes. Okay.
So we are to produce fruit with the seed of the word of God so that we can then bear what? More fruit. And that fruit is when we plant that seed, the word of God, into another soul.
Yes.
Where's the evidence in our lives? So he says that in verse 5 in the Amplified, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Where is the evidence that we are connected to the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. The vine is the Spirit of God. Because mm-hmm. Jesus is what? God is Spirit. Yes. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Where's the evidence that we are connected to the truth? Yes. That we are connected to the Spirit of God.
Yes, Lord.
Because if the Spirit of God dwells in us, how can we diminish the Spirit of God when he has all power? And that's when God reminded us where we're seated. We're seated at the right hand of the Father, where power dwells. And if our lives does not show evidence of that, then we tend to allow the enemy to come in and accuse us. Mm-hmm. So if we are not living in the presence of the Spirit of God, we cannot produce anything for God. It is a full approbation. And approbation is approval of all that God has revealed as holy, just, and good. So the evidence is the full approbation or approval of all that God has revealed as holy, just, and good. It helps the soul to make application of the Word of God, which is our substance. And so it is designed to serve the believer instead of sight. Let me read that again. The evidence is the full approbation or approval of all that God has revealed as holy, just, and good. It helps the soul to make application. Mm-hmm. Application. Mm-hmm. We don't just hear the word, we apply the word. So it helps the soul, he's our help, to make application of the word of God, which is our substance. Now faith is the substance, and the now faith is in the word, because it's what God told us. So the word of God is our substance, and so it is designed to serve the believer instead of what we can see. It serves us instead of sight, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that went over out of the 12 that didn't walk by sight. They walked by faith in everything that God had promised. And who received the promise? Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
Out of all of Israel that was under the age of 20, I believe it was. Out of all of Israel, because they didn't walk by sight. They walked by the substance of their faith in God. So, the Word of God, which is our substance, allows us to make the application of the Word. And so it is designed to serve the believer that instead of seeing, you know, of sight, and to be to the soul all that the senses are to the body. Did we get that? The substance. So the application of the Word of God, which is our substance, and so it is designed to serve the believer instead of sight, and to be to the soul all that the senses are to the body. Mm-hmm. Faith then moves the believer to a life that shows evidence of invisible things to the soul and causes the soul to act agreeably. Did you not say in your prayer, we agree with you? Amen. We must agree with God. Amen. We must agree with the word of God. And if you agree with it, then show evidence that you agree with it. So faith then moves the believer to a life that shows evidence of invisible things to the soul and causes the soul to act agreeable to the nature and importance of them. All that God has taught us. And I'm going to close with this. Now remember, we're on trial. Pastor Mike taught us about the judgment, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 through 25. Listen to this. It's from the Amplified. It says, the sins of some men are conspicuous or openly evident to all eyes. We know that. The sins of some men are conspicuous, openly evident to all eyes, going before them to the judgment seat and proclaiming their sentence in advance. Did you? You hear that? But the sins of others appear later, following the offender to the bar of judgment and coming into view there. They think they got away with it, didn't they?
Right.
But it appears later. Because
right.
Everything is going to be open
yes.
at the judgment seat. Verse 25, it says, so also good deeds are evident.
Right.
And conspicuous. And even when they are not, they cannot remain hidden mm-hmm. indefinitely. So also are good deeds conspicuous. They are evident. They are evident. So I close with our nugget today. Knowing God is not the cultivating of theological skill, but the practice of Christian obedience. Knowing God is more than an awareness of God. We are to live out
Amen.
What we know
Amen.
And show evidence
right.
that we live, move, and have our being and can do nothing without Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 Do you believe it?
Yes.
Then we, if nobody else, we show evidence
right.
that God is real. And that we are his children. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And a strange path they will not take. Because they're going to follow the voice of their shepherd. And they're going to show evidence in their obedience and following him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can dine so sumptuously on the word of God, for it is truly the bread of life. And that life we will give evident that it nourishes us daily. And Father, we will be your witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, telling them about you, Jesus, telling them that they need a Savior, giving witness. We don't want to have another Nietzsche that says, I will believe in the Redeemer when I have seen the redeemed. Let the world see us and be convinced that there is a God. In spite of what they try to tell us and how they try to deny Christ. We shall walk in as evidence and witnesses that we serve a living God. Evil's undeniable. We should be just as undeniable that God lives and he reigns and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bless you today, God. We bless you with our lives and we bless you with our obedience as you walk us into eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.